Welcome to the Sedated Man Podcast. We're here to help you break free from all that's holding you down and provide you with the tools to embrace the brotherhood of Christ. It's time to stand back up and be the man you were meant to be. Here's your host, Mike Baker.
So, welcome to the Sedated Man, episode 97. We're going to hit 100 here pretty soon by the end of the year with the rate I'm going. So, episode 97. This is going to be a series called the Salvation Series. Now, a couple things I want to apologize for up front, and one of them is not hurting your feelings. So, my two mongrel dogs are behind me. One is very old and one is younger. And I apologize if they make some noise. It's just me and the dogs. And normally they're pretty good. So if you hear them, that's what you hear in the background. The other apology is... Actually, it's not an apology. It's just a statement. This stuff is important. It's going to seem very basic what I'm about to do. But let me tell you something. Across social media platforms, as far as the religious space goes... I want to just say that I've seen nothing but petty arguments about some basic things that most of you guys should know something about. And is it always men who are arguing? No, it's not always men. A lot of times it's women. But it got to the point where it was obvious that we needed to get back to basics in the fact that I've always purported to you guys, know why you believe what you believe. If you're throwing out opinion, let me tell you where opinion gets you. Take a look at the United States today. Nothing but utter and extreme freaking chaos, okay? I don't know what side of the fence you're on. I can't picture a liberal actually listening to my podcast, but that's entirely possible. And if you are liberal, you're welcome here. Just because some of the things I might say might offend you, you're still welcome. You can turn it off at any point. But my point here is this is the Salvation Series. And every time I do a podcast, for a while at least, it's going to be on something that has turned into a salvation issue. Now, ultimately, anything can be a salvation issue. You know, if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again. That, in other words, then becomes a salvation issue for the brother, okay? So I want to talk about some very basic salvation issues that I continue to hear coming up in social media. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram anymore. My wife is. I am on TikTok. Yes, I'm not too old to be on TikTok, so just get that out of your head. But the premise is we've gotten so politically oriented, we've forgotten our spiritual roots. And am I saying that it's bad to be patriotic or a patriot? Absolutely not. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran, okay? What I'm saying is that patriotism has to have a base, and that base needs to be God. It needs to be spirit first, flesh second. And that's what this series is going to be about. I'm going to present to you exactly what I think on this and my research. Now, some of you are going to absolutely disagree with me, and I'm totally okay with that. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. All right. But if you can't come to the table with actual scripture or actual material to show your position, then you're unqualified to speak. You can opinion all day long. Everybody's got an opinion. But I want us to move past opinions. I want us to move into facts, into reality. I have also often said it is easy to prove the Bible is a word of God. Now, when I say easy, I don't mean one study easy. It takes several studies to really establish it, but it's not a difficult concept. When people talk about how Christians have rejected science, God invented science. He invented science. There would be no science without the Spirit. There would be no science without the Creator. So I always find it funny when they're like, well, you're just not willing to look at the science. Oh, no, I am absolutely willing to look at the science because you can prove God by science. And most of the time they just stare at you. Or then nowadays they just take attitude with you. Okay, boomer, which just shows you where they're at because I'm not a boomer. So with that, let's go in. Today's topic, as I'm sure you saw in the title, is once saved, always saved. I have never understood this concept. I mean, I understand where people try to come from with it, but I don't understand why anybody actually believes it. It's just not in scripture. To suggest once saved, always saved is to suggest that you can come into the kingdom and be a complete scumbag. Now, some of you are probably saying, no, that's not, whoa. Basic concept. If I am once saved and always saved and I cannot lose that salvation, then where's my oomph to get it done? Where is my drive to push forward? Well, I made it. I'm just going to go find a chair and sit down. It makes as much sense as there's no hell and no devil. Because if all I do is go poof at the end, where is my motivation to do right? Because if I do right, I get to go to this great heavenly place. And if I'm a murderer and a rapist and a sociopath, I get to just poof, disappear. There is no repercussion for sin in that. There is no anything for that. You're just poof. That's not a punishment. Stop and think about it. Would it really hurt your feelings that if you were a bad person, you just went poof at the end? You lived your life the way you wanted to live it. You were a complete crap bag. You maimed and raped and tortured and all that. You did everything that your twisted little mind wanted to do, and poof, that's it. Poof. No pain. No consequence. Poof. That to me is the same thing as the once saved, always saved. Once you're in, poof. That's all you got to do. No motivation. So let's talk about it for a minute. So this was actually, this was inspired by somebody I saw who did a video on when people say that you can lose your salvation and then you hit them with John 6 and Ephesians 1. And so I want to go there. I want to go to John 6. Get out my Bible. Okay, John 6. In verse 37, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on that last day." So the premise is, it says, I will certainly not cast out. So what they do is they say, well, it says, this is the will of him who sent me, God has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. So there it is. You can't lose it. It's like, whoa. Verse 40 says, for this is the will that everyone have eternal life. God's desire, his will, is that everyone has eternal life. Does that mean everyone will get eternal life? That is the unanswered question. Because it doesn't say, let's see. Raised up on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes him will have eternal life. It's his will. It doesn't say, this is what my Father's doing and everyone's going. It doesn't say that. It says, this is the will of my Father. This is my Father's desire. Okay? So the question then comes, right? Jesus won't cast anyone out, or Jesus will cast no one out, right? But that's not what you should be focused on. What you should be focused on is, can you cast yourself out? Now, that might seem ludicrous. It might seem ridiculous. Mike, why would I ever cast myself out? We're going to get there. But that is the question that has to be asked of this verse. If Jesus won't cast me out, can I cast myself out? Well, let's go to Ephesians 1:13. I'm getting there. Don't be impatient. Ephesians 1:13. All right. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, this is another one that gets thrown around a lot, and I'm not quite sure why. What they say is, well, it says right here, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, let's talk about another seal. Let's talk about the seal of, marriage. Marriage is a representation of Christ and his bride, is it not? The man represents Christ, the woman represents the church, and Christ gave himself up for her, and men are to exemplify Christ's example in that marriage as Jesus, as he did to his bride, the church. This is club soda, by the way. Don't get any ideas. So, is marriage a seal? It is a seal. So what it says here is sealed with him, right? Let's look at it again. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So sealed with him does not mean you cannot leave or turn your back. It means he won't turn his back on you. Okay, let me say that again. It means he won't turn his back on you. It does not mean that you cannot or will not turn your back on him. So the question here is, can you lose your salvation? Once saved, always saved. See, the problem here is that we're leaning too much on what God will or won't do and not enough on what we will or won't do. See, when everyone feels the need to put the burden of this on God's shoulders for personal choice and responsibility, see, God's got me covered. God's got me protected. And you would be correct so long as you're doing the things you should be doing. Let's look at some other scriptures. John 15. All right. John 15, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, so Jesus is pretty straightforward here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. So if anyone is outside of Christ, correct? Pretty simple. It's not like I got to tell you guys that, but what does the scripture say? It says, if anyone doesn't abide, he's thrown away, right? So let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. First Timothy 4:1 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, here's an interesting thing I have heard on 1 Timothy 4:1 is what the first thing that these once saved, always saved people cry out is, well, those people were never Christians. It's like, hold the phone, buddy. Where does it say that? It does not say that. That is an assumption. That is a lie. It is a straight up lie. You cannot fall away from somewhere you never were. That's like saying I was cut from the NBA because I never went. Because I never joined. Because I never played basketball. You know, I was never accepted to the NFL. Not that I'd want anything to do with those guys. But I was never accepted to the NFL because I never played football. Okay. That is a lie that those people were never Christians. You cannot fall away. The Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. From the faith, which means they were in it. Can't fall away from somewhere you never were. In Hebrews chapter 10, let me go. I actually have all these little bookmarks. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge, that's in verse 26, right? But then verse 28, you know, how much more severer a punishment for those who trample underfoot the Son of God and the blood by which he, not he God, but he the individual, was sanctified. See, here's an interesting thing. Let me back up here. If I go back to the beginning of Hebrews, I've told you guys before, context is exceptionally important in the fact of who is the conversation being had with. And it says here, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the will and promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, right? So this letter is written to Timothy. Why is that important? He's talking to a guy who was already a Christian. Okay, so they're both talking about the church. All right, so he's talking about how much severe punishment do you think we'll deserve in verse 29, who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant. Where is the accountability in once saved, always saved? There is none. There is no accountability. But if you can lose your salvation, if you have the ability to make a poor choice and step away, how much more severer the judgment for you? More so than the person who never came to the party. So that neighbor that you can't stand, that you know is not going to make it, if you turn from God and become like him, your punishment will be worse than his. Because that's accountability. Accountability is a huge thing with God, is it not? Look through the entire Old Testament, accountability. Maybe not everywhere we thought it should happen, but we're not God. We don't see the whole picture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What does disqualified means? I.e. unsaved. Right? I discipline my body so that I don't end up unsaved. Am I changing scripture? No, I'm not changing scripture. He says, so that I will not be disqualified. Disqualified from what? I discipline my body, make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, after I have taken the gospel out, because who is this? This is Paul, that I may not be disqualified. So that now here's what I really want to point out. He acknowledges in this, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He's holding himself accountable. Paul knows that it's him who has the burden of responsibility to keep his place in the salvation line. It's given to him freely. Christ died so that he can have that place. That is his place, never to be taken away, but always his choice to step away. See, the Old Testament, let's talk for a second about the Old Testament. The Old Testament law, all right, we're no longer, if you're a Christian and you actually have the Spirit of God within you and you receive forgiveness of sins, then you are apart from the law. It says that. Galatians makes it plain that the law was your tutor to lead you to Christ, and that once you're a Christian, you no longer are under law. You're under the law of liberty. You're not under the law of sin and death. So let's talk about that for a second. Had God never come up with Christianity or the church and had only run the Jewish program, would it have still been a perfect program? Now, what I'm saying there is this. The problem wasn't the law. The problem was the people. It's often been said that a perfect business involves no people, because it's people that screw it up. But the problem was not God's law. The problem was the people wouldn't follow it. So everything from the beginning was to foretell the church. So the church comes to being, and now he has a people who follow because they want to, not because they have to, because of a system, because of a system of laws. So the point here is accountability. The Israelites, in order to remain Israelite, almost didn't have a choice on how they were to operate. They had to do this offering. They had to do that offering if they wanted to remain in good standing. I mean, there's all these rules and regulations. Now it is your choice. Follow or don't follow. Stay in, step out. You don't just get to jump back and forth. It doesn't work that way. So, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews 6, verse 4. For in the case of those who once have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves to the Son of God and put him to open shame. Let me reread that for you. Verse 4, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, stop right there. They have been where they need to be. They have done what they need to do. They have the indwelling presence of the Spirit, and they've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And then, after that's done, after they become Christians, have fallen away. Whose fault was that? Have fallen away would point to choices made. Bad choices, but choices. And then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified to themselves the Son of God. Since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God. All right, so they're made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and then fall away, i.e. unsaved. Sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 9, doesn't it? End up disqualified, i.e. unsaved. Okay, and then have fallen away, Hebrews 6, i.e. unsaved. Unsaved. Lost again. Finally, let's go to John. Back to John, I should say. John chapter 10. Get these stickies out of here. Okay, John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the last argument that I hear usually. See, it says right here that God will allow nobody to snatch us out of his hand. And you would be correct. That is a correct statement. No one can snatch you from God's hand. Absolutely not. Right on the money. Absolutely correct. But really what we should be asking is, can we leave at any time? Have we walked in a door we can't walk back out? The answer is yes, we can leave at any time. We don't have to be snatched. We can willfully walk away. Stupid a decision as that may be. Can we lose our salvation then? Absolutely. When we make the choice to turn and walk away, no one can simply take it. No one. God is all about accountability. And that is the one thing that the once saved, always saved lacks. It doesn't take a lot of scripture to lay it out. I could go scripture after scripture after scripture, but you're here to get the meat and move on. All right. I'm not going to give you a bunch of fluff here. I would hope that if you believe once saved, always saved, you will take a second look at it. Because what God gives you is this amazing gift, but he gives it at the cost of his son's life. Life and death. Okay. That came with a cost. So for you to think that after all that work on his part, establishing the church via the Old Testament, being able to read all that, everything leading up to the church just gives you the right to step in and never have to step out, and he's got your back no matter what. That is, you are sorely mistaken. That is not his intention. If his intention is for you to willingly follow, then his intention is for you to continue to willingly follow. He will always give you the opportunity of choice. Because it's that choice that makes us stronger. I discipline my body. I make it my slave. We're going to talk about sin in one of these salvation series, and we're going to talk about worship in some of these salvation series, and we're going to talk about how to be saved in some of these salvation series. And these are all going to aggravate you so much that it's going to inspire you to open your Bible and know why you believe what you believe. So this was the first basic. You want to see the country come back together? Get your spiritual crap together. Rebuild your foundation so that your patriotism is true, godly patriotism, not just I love Donald Trump patriotism. Now, I voted for Trump. I'm not going to give you a hard time about that. I don't have any problem with, I would never ask the guy for marriage advice, but as far as president, I thought he was grade A. But I can't let that interfere with my spiritual life. I am a Christian first. And then I'm a patriot. As we can see the walls close in, and as we can see that eventually they will come for us, now, I don't necessarily believe that that time has to be now. I've said this a lot, and I'll continue to say it. All of this last times talk really just aggravates me, because Christ said he's coming like a thief in the night at a time nobody would expect. And there are so many people that expect him to show up. I'm pretty sure he's not coming yet. Focus on today, the plans of today. Set your plans, commit them to God, and he will bless them. Get your spiritual house in order so that you can move forward in the desire to see things come about the way you want them to come about for a great country. And in the off chance things go sideways, which is a definite possibility in our lifetime, guys, we are prepared both here and here to take that on. So that we will willingly, no matter what, show Christ in all things. Basics, guys. Salvation series, back to basics. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you. I've told you many times that my book is done, but it's not done. I still got to get it edited. I've been really busy. I've started a business. I have a small plumbing shop. And I'm getting to it. I will get it out. If any of you guys... once again, on this salvation series, if any of you guys have something you want me to cover on this salvation series, please email me at mike@thecitydemand.com, and I'm happy to go over it. This is not going to cover basic salvation stuff. This is going to cover anything that I see out there that is becoming a salvation issue. Okay? This was number one. Thanks for listening. Baker out.
Thanks for listening to The Sedated Man. Bringing Christian men back to power in their homes, congregations, and communities. We'll see you next time.